Danny Dixon, welcome to the show. How are you? How are you feeling?
Thank you for having me on, mate. I appreciate it. I'm all good this way. How are yourself, mate? You okay?
I'm fine. Not too bad. Not too bad. Finally, at last, I have you all to myself. I can probably pick your brains about actually everything. But look, first of all, I want to ask about your surname. Is it Deco? Where they come from? Is it just something that kind of is easy for people to remember your surname by?
Dicko, yeah, just comes from my Dixon, to be fair. Just obviously sh short for Dixon, literally, mate, yeah, so.
Okay, no, but your backstory. Can you just give a just a bit of information about it? Because you're a big name on the UK mixed martial arts scene, so you need no introduction. People know who you are, but can you just give like a bit of a backstory as to how you got into the sport and what kind of got your attention, enticed you into competing into combat in combat sports?
It's a pretty deep one where I started, to be fair, mate. I started when I was a kid. Like, my house got broken into when I was a kid, and my mum kind of got beat up. So I was there, and it was very harsh to look back and shit on. So when that all happened, I was going through that. I turned very sour, violent from it. I think I was 11 when we got broken into. I was like I said, I just turned to like being angry more than anything. I remember like postman was knocking the door, and I'd have a knife under my pillow, and I'd run thinking they were back and that. Yeah, so that's kind of when I was a kid. It was like, it played a major effect to me being violent, but straight away in the wrong way. So I remember I was sat on the stairs, and I heard my mum and dad. I played football at the time. I heard my mum and dad saying that they need to take me to a gym or something, or something to like put me in the right direction, because it wasn't good the way I was going. Not that I'm nasty like that. Obviously, when that happens to your closest person, like my mum's my best friend, when that happens to your closest person as a kid, and you can't protect them, because I was 11 at the end of the day, do you know what I mean? I'm no superhero, and I had to find a way to be able to protect them. And at that age, I just didn't know where to turn, so I was kind of like all over the place with things. I remember when he actually got me a punching man from my bedroom, and I was like hitting it with bats and stuff, practicing, like, instead of the right violence I should have been. I hate it, to be fair, mate, and I'm against weapons more than anybody. I hate all that, but it was just like it was home, and I was that scared I had nothing else to do. So yeah, I went to the boxing gym, and best thing I've ever done in my life. I was young. I was boxed till about I was training up until about, I think, 15. I had my first fight, and then I had a few amateur boxing matches. I went into the army then, which was even better for me, made me a better person. I went into the British Army. I come out about 3 to 4 years later, and I took up kickboxing when I come out. I already had the boxing experience. I took up kickboxing. I boxed on the unlicensed scene because I went away from the amateurs. I'd done a few unlicensed fights. That's where I got one of the belts for. And then I also boxed for a kickboxing belt on 2 weeks' notice. And I won that. And then I was enjoying kickboxing loads, like using different limbs and stuff. Like I said, I think my only loss to kickboxing was one guy who's fought for a world title. So I knew I was doing all right at it. That's when I started taking up MMA and just found my love for it, mate. Yeah. MMA plays a massive part of me now. Like, I love it. I coach, obviously, a lot of people as well. So we've got no first fight academy. My life is MMA, mate. My life is martial art. It always has been, to be fair. In some sort, like I said, from day dot, it's been that happened to my mum. So violence from an early age, but obviously it's calculated now.
You kind of said something there that made my ears stand up, and that is the fact that you kind of approached your parents and said, "Look, mom, dad, please, you need to sign me up to a gym somewhere so I can practice this." No, you didn't have a discussion, say, with a family member or with an older adult. This is something that an informed choice that you, as a very young child, you kind of knew that no, I need to do something about this because it's going to get out of hand. I need to find someone to channel all of this aggression and into something positive. I mean, that's a choice you made on your own.
Personally, the choice I made was because I wanted to be able to protect my family. My mum grew brought me up. My dad's played a massive role, you know. And when I grew up, I've got three sisters and an older brother and stuff, but they're not like violent like me. They're not like I'm just violent, but I mean, they don't have no interest in the sport or anything like other than myself now. But I wanted to be the one, even from a young age, that protected the family. I wanted to be the man at house, even though I was the youngest baby in the house. So when I seen that happen, that was my mission. And I knew I had the years, I had the time, you know, I had the time to do so. So I promised myself that'll never happen to my mum again. That was my main promise. I'd never be there and, you know, I'd take care of business if that has to happen. I'm very confident in that these days. So yeah, I just went to work, mate, to be fair. And then when I went to work to protect my family, I fell in love with the sport. I fell in love with it. So now it's more than that.
That indicates that you, as a young child, probably you're looking ahead and you're growing up quite fast. The situation kind of caused you to grow up a little bit quicker than probably your other peers.
Yeah, 100%, mate, 100%. At the same time, I have made mistakes due to fighting still, you know. And I'm not gonna blame anything, but I'd say my childhood takes a massive part in that. So, you know, there's ups and downs to it, but there is in life anyway, isn't there? So.
I've seen how some of your fights in the cage, and you've got a lot of wins, but with a knockout or a TKO, and it's like that's a source of one of the source of wins and finishes that the audience loves, fight fans
Yeah,
love.
yeah.
You kind of like you almost like you pace back and forth. It's almost like a very calculating, methodical kind of tactic that you use, and finally you rushing for the kill and deliver the TKO or the knockout. I mean, is that probably how you what you prefer, or is it just you feel that's what it works for you? As in, for the fight fan, that fight fan, excuse me, they'll not forget you. They'll remember you for fighting this way and being entertaining.
Yeah, 100%. I just like I'm not even being big edge when I say this. It's just I know I've got the capability to finish a lot of people, especially in my hands. I'm learning, you know, you're forever learning this game, don't get me wrong. And just lately I've clicked more than anything. But my hands are very dangerous and I know that from a young age. And you know, I've had so many compliments off them off very people who are up there where you know it's not just fucking smoke and mirrors, it's the real stuff. So I know I can put people out with them. So, you know, sometimes I'd say like my loss last year, which we can talk about also if you want, is, you know, like that put me up a bit, but there was a lot more going on between that. But I know I've just got to learn to calculate it all, like you say. I'm never ever going to be the type of guy that doesn't want to finish people. So as much as somebody could say, it's, you know, he needs to calm it down and that, I'm not. You know, it's not going to happen like that. I'm just going to learn to do it better. And, you know, like with my engine, with everything, we use my wrestling into it, but I'm always going to be looking to finish somebody. Always. I don't want to be, you know, like some people like it, you know, technical wins a win. And I totally agree with that. I do totally agree with that. But I want to be remembered for coming and having wars. That's another reason why I was a bit good about my last one because that wasn't me. But if you look back to, I've had like over 40 odd fights now in between kickboxing, boxing, and in boxing, I fought some of the best amateurs in the area. I flew abroad on my own to fight people in Malta who are like 9-0 pro now, and I've gone the distance with them in Malta in boxing. And you know, they were wars. These were all wars. So people are quick to forget, you know, when something's going on in your life and you've got a lot more going on than it was in there, they forget. But like I say, I know I can finish people, and I'll always be looking for that. That is my style. I just like it, you know. I feel good in there looking for it. And if you're not going to finish them, they're definitely going to finish you. So.
No, not only because both of you are more or less fighting to the death for the same thing, when in that
Yeah,
cage.
exactly. You're not first, you're second, aren't you, mate?
Do you think that anyone getting into the sport, combat sports as a whole, but let's say mixed martial arts and kickboxing, because they seem to be two of the most severe and most extreme because of the injuries and the way you can attack your opponent. Do you think that maybe going through some kind of adversity like yourself, like you did when you were very young, it does help train your mind that once you sign up to this thing, this is basically your life now. You're going to give this your, you have to remain loyal to the process, loyal to your team, and always when you get into that cage, you want to make sure that the only thing on your mind is your eye on the prize. You're not going to leave that cage until you know your hand is going to be raised. I say that because nowadays you see lots of social media people, especially, okay, good example, the Paul brothers, Jake Paul. And the shocking thing that I saw is that now Jake Paul is going to be fighting Mike Tyson in a boxing bout coming up. But the point I'm making is that a lot of those guys, they didn't start from the very bottom, from the very ground, like yourself. So the kind of the passion for the sport isn't really in them like it would be in you.
Definitely. I definitely agree. But I also think everyone's got a chance to fight, go over adversity and, become mentally tough. There's loads of people I know out there that are more fighters than me, and they've never had a fight in their life. They're just lifestyles of fight every day. They're suffering, and it's quite amazing. Another thing with my mother, like she's been very ill for years. Yeah, not ill as in like dying, but ill and still she has to fight with. And I see her get up every day and crack on with her life. And that's a lot harder than me being here fresh and young and ready to go and having a dream in front of me to chase. Like, you've got to admire the other people that actually go through things. So I know I'm saying here, I'm not on here going, oh yeah, my life's been tough as a kid and stuff, because that's not the case. We all have a story. I'm just hoping I can go high in this sport, which I believe I can, and that my story helps somebody. And I do help a lot of people with North West Fight Academy and stuff. People will vouch for that already. But I know the bigger the platform, the more audience I get to help. So that's the goal.
Do you ever look back on your fights and even the fights that maybe you've won? Do you ever just look at the footage of everything and probably just think, is there anything I could have done better, or anything I could have, anything if you could go back that you would have changed?
Definitely. The boxing ones, like I said, I had a lot of wins in boxing, and the losses were to very good opponents. So, like the different countries, I went over to Ireland for Eddie Tracy. He's now like 5-0, and I was a pro in Ireland. He was a tough fight. Me and him went the distance. And I always look at him. And you know what? Being wild was a bit like where I lost a couple of them fights. He like bit me in the ass for being a bit too crazy, when I should have been a bit more technical, because I can do that, and I do it in the gym every night. But I get caught into a fight sometimes more than I should. But at the same time, like I say, in MMA it's a lot different to boxing, so you're looking for them finishes. Like, whereas and that's where I got annoyed with boxing. I was getting outpointed by a lot of people. No disrespect to them, that I think more limbs and more lesser glove. I'm putting them away and I'm putting a stamp on the thing. But yeah, like with MMA now, it's going that way. I've just got a few things to get right. Like, you're forever learning this sport, yeah. The one thing about it, I'll say, is the kids that are doing it these days are gonna be dangerous when they're older. They're absolute mental. Like, because it used to be like you'd come from like myself boxing, or someone had come from something, and then you grasp it all into a martial arts, which we're all getting now. The MMA seems thriving, especially in the UK. But when you look at the kids, man, they're like, I've got kids, and they're like, the ones that I train, sorry, and they're like 10 to 8, and they're just putting it all together already. So they're going to be a real problem in the future.
Are there, well, how should I phrase this? With regards to the UK MMA scene, I've always said that here I can see that there's, okay, they may not be as well known as say in the US, because in the US you've got big brands, the UFC and Bellator. But I have to say that over here on the more domestic local scene, that it, when promoters do host a show, the fight card, the fight card will have some very talented fighters on there. And it does, for me, it's very annoying that when they do win, when they perform, they've performed very well, they can fight very well, they can showcase their talent and entertain the crowds overwhelmingly. But the media doesn't do them justice and actually report and actually just give them that exposure to the world, that you might not be so well known, but you are a very big prospect. You are definitely one to watch. Well, watch this space, because clearly you are talented and you're gonna go far. You always find, I always find that the news is, mixed martial arts news is always overtaken by what's happening on the American scene. There's never, doesn't seem to be any attention to what's going on closer to home.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Mate, like I thanked you at the start of the video, it's people like yourself getting us MMA fighters out there. We do respect it, and it doesn't go unnoticed. So, thank you for that. But also, like you just say, it's not just the media as well. The fans, they're great. I fucking love them, especially, you know, my lot. We love them. But there's also a lot of people out there that just watch you to fail, and it's quick lose. Like once you're on your way up, you're on your way up. I always say this. This is one of my favorite lines. Floyd Mayweather is 50 and 0. If he lost this weekend, there'd still be someone saying, "I told you he was shit." Do you know what I mean? That like people are waiting for that one loss, no matter how much you win. So, and that's another thing about where you say with the media and stuff, and they're bigging you up and that. But these days, people give up on you too soon. Well, it is what it is.
I've never really, I mean, unless if you know the fighter personally, I've never really understood that. I mean, when you have lost a fight, or even when you've won a fight, do you get any, as in, this might come across as a silly, obvious question, the answer may be obvious, but do you get any haters and naysayers and trolls just coming after you? I mean, what do they say? I mean, how do you deal with that? Because for me, even if the fighter lost the fight, to me, at least, they walked in then did what the trolls and the naysayers would never do. They wouldn't have the balls to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, trolls are mad, like, but hot. Like, 90% of them have never had a fight. You'll get like 10% that probably of the people that probably maybe want to fight you or just giving you shit anyway, you know, just to build up a bit of hype around themselves. You'll get that now and again on it, but you'll never take it from personal. Fighters all respect each other. We're all trying to get to the same place at the end of the day. Win or lose, and you know, if you are good enough, you're gonna end up facing each other anyway. You know, all the talk doesn't really matter, does it? You're going to be in the cage. But after my last loss, obviously I was going to go into this. I'm no excuses. I don't give a fuck. It's been like a year, and I've never come on here giving excuses, and I haven't gone on Instagram giving excuses. I don't do that. Yeah, but after my last loss, the week of it, my dad had cancer. I didn't think he was going to survive. Yeah, I remember cutting weight. Ask anybody close to me this, and this is why they stuck with me after. I was going to the. My dad to next to my dad's bed in the hospital when I thought I was losing it, and I was cutting weight at the same time. Anybody knows how bad cutting weight is anyway. It's grim. Do you know what I mean? We do it, but it's grim. And anybody who goes through it will tell you that. And I was going from the sauna to sit next to my dad's bed, and I was sat next to him asking if he was okay. And I probably just looked just as bad as him. You know, I was like, my dad's okay now, by the way, just the thingy. But
Good, yeah.
obviously, at the time, it was all going like. My head was gone. I had a fight in like 3 days, and I was sat next to my dad's bed trying to make sure my weight's on. I actually, for the first time, I failed that weight, so I didn't make that weight. And I'll be honest and tell anybody on here, I didn't make the weight. My opponent, lucky enough, didn't make the weight, so we agreed to fight at the weight it was because he weighed in a bit over and I weighed in a bit over. So lucky that was, but that just shows because out of like 40 something fights, I don't miss weight. I always make weight. I didn't make weight that time. My head just wasn't with it. I was just everywhere. Obviously, even on fight night, we didn't know my dad was going to be okay. So, my family and some of my biggest supporters. So it was just ruthless at the time. And after that, when I lost, people were like, "Oh, what's gone on? What's gone on? You know, it doesn't look like Danny." And I just didn't even say anything because, you know, I just left it because at the end of the day, I proved myself by getting back in there and showing them who I am. But I didn't say nothing. But as you said about trolls, that's what I wanted to just catch up. I had so many comments. I had people saying Lee quit MMA and stuff. Yeah, like just random as yeah, just like saying, "Oh, you should quit and that ain't the sport for you and stuff." So I've lost after fucking and that at the time probably the worst time of my life. Out to the cage. The reason I didn't pull out was because I didn't want to plant the fight. I actually stepped in on short notice to fight, so I replaced an opponent. He had an original opponent. I stepped in for that original opponent, and then. It was like 3 weeks before it, I think. And then when the fight got closer, it was just getting worse for my dad. But I just carried on because I wouldn't pull out. I'd done that, so there was still a fight. And you kind of get a respect for that as much as obviously people like yourself and that, but the fans don't see that, do they? They just think who wins, who loses, and that's their end. But so yeah, and after that I had a bit of shit, and I was also getting over my dad thing, so that was my head was just baffled anyway, and then dealing with the people on the internet, it's like. But I'm very thick skinned, like I said, I've been through that from an early age. So comment on Instagram ain't going to really bother me at the end of the day. I'm a vision to where I'm going, and it's happening either way, whether I get a few Instagram comments or not, they'll see that. And this is why my next opponent is 12 months away from a loss. So I took 12 months kind of out, not really out, but like to focus on my game. Like, so not very active in the last 12 months, but I've been active for 10 or so years. So I wasn't very active in the last, by the time it comes 12 months, and then I'm gonna show what time it is when I get in there in June.
Well, you just said that about your father having cancer and it really affecting you mentally. And of course, the other side of things, making weight, which is horrible because you're so drained. You still have to have the energy to go and spar, train, and still on fight night, still have to have the energy to go into that cage and still perform. It's just those are the sort of things that people don't know is actually what is going on behind the scenes. And of course, because it's private, you want to keep it to yourself. But at the same time, they'll just find any. Say anything that kind of hoping to get a reaction from you.
Of course, and that's it, mate. But they just want you to, like, react like you're saying. They haven't got much better to be than that. I got goal at the end of the day, and it's going there. Considering they told me, like, some nasty comments. I got off a Doctagon, which is probably one of the biggest promotions in MMA. I got off a Doctagon off my manager about a month ago, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, to be fair. But I'm already matched on Kingdom in June, and we have a plan. We have a plan of where we're going and how we're going to do it, and that's the plan. Doesn't always go to plan, but we're going to keep showing up, and then big shows will come like they did a couple of weeks ago. So I could have easily just jumped on that show and went, yeah, I'm fighting on Octagon, but I ain't that guy. Like, I'll be on the big shows eventually. I'm gonna get back to showing my skill set. And last thing is, people question my groundwork from a couple of losses when I was amateur. When I took the losses as an amateur, I didn't do any jiu-jitsu or wrestling. You can ask people. I actually had a mad belief that I'd just go in there and knock them out, which is pretty mad, yeah, but like, it's stupid as well, and I'll totally admit that's stupid. But like, I would not suggest that to anybody. Do you know what I mean? It's stupid, and that's where my loss is coming in from. But what I'm saying is, if you think that's the same guy as now, then you're crazy. Like, I wrestle all the time with good people on it. I roll all the time with great people. Purple belts, brown belts every day. So my next opponent is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and I'll showcase everything. That's why we got here. We want to showcase like what we're about.
I've looked, just I searched everywhere, but you said that you do have a next opponent and there's another bout in the works, but do you have a scheduled date at all?
21st of June, Kingdom. It is up already. It's on the Kingdom Instagram, the poster.
Oh,
Kingdom.
right. Okay. That's the first one hearing with that promoter, but the reason why I asked, I didn't see it on your account. So,
No,
yeah.
sorry, mate. I don't really advertise on my account like that. I put it on my story or something, but I'm not big on advertising. Obviously, I'm just focused on the goals. I'm sort of vision at the minute. When I get there, I'll use social media as more of a tool to help people and stuff. And that's all it is. I don't want to get too caught up on it. So it's a tool to help people. I'm not trying to show someone I'm not or do anything like that. I'm a fighter, and I have been since I was a kid. And I will be till the day I go. So, but I don't need to tell anybody that. Anybody who knows me knows I am. So I don't need to act up on social media to prove that. I'm going to keep doing me, and then I'm going to keep wiping these people out and get to where I want to be.
Is there any particular figure in mixed martial arts, kickboxing, or combat sports as a whole that does, inspire you to keep on pushing, pushing, pushing to for success and to be the greatest?
You know what? It's more like I'm just like kind of, it's not a certain one at all, to be fair. But I don't care what people say. But you got to go back to like Conor McGregor. He made it for us. Do you know what I mean? Whether you agree with the person he is now or not, he made it for us. And the more you look into him and the more he plays up, you probably think, why? Because no one gave a shit about him one day. And then he said he was going to do everything he was going to. He'd done everything he said he was going to do. And now it's kind of like a fuck you in everyone's face, isn't it, really? So he may get lost in that a bit, but he's a fucking. He made the sport. Like, most of the people wouldn't be watching UFC now if it wasn't for him. He like, when he says he's the face to fight king, he was. So he was a big like thing for me. seeing him and he come through with his hands and his style of putting people away and stuff. I love all that, you know. And he also, like, some people don't click on, they think Conor McGregor's the first, like, shit talker and stuff, but you got to go back to like Muhammad Ali and stuff.
Yes.
You know, they were all doing that just in a
Yeah.
different way. Yeah, McGregor knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. That's the same shit as Muhammad Ali, and then we're doing just in a different way and a different bit of a style, but it's all the same.
Only
You
thing
know, the
is, oh, go on, sorry, didn't mean to
no, no,
interrupt you.
go for it.
Only thing is, the question is, the debate is Conor McGregor gonna come back to the Octagon to compete? I think there was all the noise about Michael Chandler that I think started some, is it back in 2022, and then spill over in 2023. Now we're just entering the middle of 2024. Is Conor McGregor going to come back to the cage to fight? And you see him training at one minute on his social media, and you see him passing. It's like, which one is it?
It's a very hard call, but like I say, like when I said I'm like a model, it's not really now anymore. I'm kind of like you know, just focus on my own shit now. When I'm trying not to get too much of a fanboy in this game, because once you're like climbing the ladder, you never know who you end up fighting. You know, you don't have a clue. You know, I respect all the fighters. There's a lot of fighters I love, even on little shows, Cage Warriors stuff. I watch them; they're all fucking sick. But you know, I know my style, and I know I'm just as good on my night. So I don't try to fanboy too much. But like I say, with McGregor, it's more what he done when I was growing up that I was like, yeah, that you know that opened the sport. Now that opens the door for all of us to go do our thing. So that's what I kind of respect. But you know, they're all heroes in their own way. And you'll see a lot of fighters are mad. You know, they've all got stories. Everyone had shots. Like when, like you got your John Jones, you got your Tyson Fury, you got all them people that we love. Have all got a mad story, and that's why we love them in it, because you know they show life, and through fighting, kind of helps us. You know, it just shows you not the normal people, and we all go through stuff, and then they're just doing it through the fighting. And they take a lot of shit through that as well. As much as like we all go, oh yeah, we love them, and that, they take a lot of shit, like you say about trolls and all
Yes, yeah.
that. You know, I've seen loads of people giving them shit. It's like, wow, do you know they're top of the sport and still get it. So you've got to have thick skin, because the best of the best get it. Do you know what I mean? Muhammad Ali got it. They all got it, and they all took losses as well. Muhammad Ali, yeah, look at him. He's had a fair few losses, but you know, you just keep moving, keep pushing, and remember why you started, and keep getting it out there for people to keep going. Like, if you want to use this sport isn't for everybody.
Yes.
But I'm not on here preaching everybody to be a fighter in this sport. I'm on about in life. So when I'm preaching it, it's like keep going into your day-to-day basis. And as us as fighters doing that, one more thing, as us as fighters doing that, we also put ourselves out there a lot to say, like, yeah, they might go, oh yeah, he's an inspiration, but we get a lot of shit as well. So we're putting that on the line. And that's what people need to remember. It's not all fucking everything when you're trying to become something. It's hard work.
No,
And
definitely. Nothing
yeah.
good comes easy, though. I mean, if you really want to enjoy success, know that in the beginning you will have to suffer a lot.
Yeah,
Suffer a
definitely,
lot,
mate.
yes.
100%. 100% agree with you there, mate. First 2 years of business, any business never goes off, ever. Shit, if anything, you're going into your own stuff. It's the same with life. Yeah, you got to put it in, and you get back on, and it might take years, but it'll click one day, and you'll realize why you've done
North Wales Fight Academy. Can you talk a bit about that? That's all.
What do you want to know?
Well, the story behind it, how it came about. What, of course, there's the obvious question. I was going to ask you what gave you the idea to start it, but then you're a fighter yourself, so of course you want to help other people who also want to who are up and coming. So I mean, just the backstory behind that.
North West Fight Academy is more like when I was growing up, you know, there are some good gyms in and around the area, so I'm not trying to say they're not for everybody, because there's always a place for somebody. And when I say I've got my own gym, and I'll never say everybody get to my gym, just get, I think you should get to a gym. Do you know what I mean? Like a local gym, whether it's to, you know, just as like a hobbyist, or an actual, or a full fighter, you know, just get in there and enjoy it and be the family. You don't have to fight when you go in a gym, and fighters will know that They say for every world champion, there's 10 people that helped him become that world champion, isn't there? That will never be a world champion, but they're the reason someone is a world champion. So, Northport Fight Academy was more to put a home in my area, away from home for everybody, for something like what I went through as a kid, so they can grow up and have that family inside and outside of the thing. Obviously, we've got a lot of fighters there that are going to do really well with this. We've got our fight team, don't get me wrong. It's a fight squad, but there's also a lot of people in there that just come in there because they struggle with day-to-day life, and they come in and it helps them to be around the boys or the girls, and we all have a laugh. And training's hard, don't get me wrong, it's not fun, but it's that hard that everyone just enjoys it, and they're all in the struggle together, and it just brings in a squad. There is like an army of them now. They're close to my heart. Like, North West Fight Academy is massive. Also, there's another coach there, that Leo Burston, so I want to shout him out. He's like a wrestling jiu-jitsu mainly. He's full MMA, he's 3-0 in MMA. He hasn't fought in a few years, and then he fought a couple of months ago for the first time back, and he went 3-0 on Kingdom. He's class, he's played a big role with us, so I've got to thank him. I'm more of like striking coach, so we just work together. It's the perfect match, really, because he's wrestled all over, and he's good wrestling, is sick. So, and then you've got me. He's a good striker as well, very good striker, but he's wrestler dominant. And then I think he's a purple belt, more like a brown belt, top end brown belt. But he's got a purple belt. And then myself as a striker, I fought all over, boxed all over, kickboxed all over, titles in both. So you put us together, and you've got the perfect mix. I done it so as well. So like, just lately, it's been a bit hard because as I've done it, anyone will tell you running the gym and fighting is fucking hard. Like,
Yeah, I can imagine that.
it is hard, but that's why I brought Liam in. Liam's like the head coach now, and he also my coach, and he takes a lot of stress off me. So he coaches my wrestling and stuff. I go with him, and Titanium as well. Gav Hughes, who's part of Titanium, owns Titanium. I go see them a lot because that's Liam's coach. He also works at Titanium and North West Fight Academy, so we like kind of link them up both. But yeah, again, like I say, it's hard. It's hard, but it's worth it. And with Liam taking the stress off, it's a lot less. So I try and fight out on my academy as well now. So with Liam there, so I can represent them, and I want to show people in North Wales where what you can do, because I feel like the cities like Manchester, Liverpool, MMA is big there.
Yeah.
That. And don't get me
Yes.
wrong, you know there's some Welsh fight looking like a Jack Shaw and all, and they're unreal. Brett Johns, Oban Elliott, all of them, they're mega, but they're South Wales. So when you're talking North Wales, we haven't got many, so I need to I'm just trying to lead the way. So there is a little gap in the market for the North Walians coming up. They also get themselves into something, start believing in themselves and know they can do it. Otherwise, when I was growing up, I was kind of looking at big cities thinking you had to go there to be something. I thought you have to be in Liverpool or Manchester. Not everybody can do that. Life's tough anyway. So when you're traveling and trying to work and stuff, it takes it out of you. And I don't want people giving up. So I thought if I get home in the middle of where we are, and lead the way from the front and show everybody I can do it, then people will follow.
So, your next fight is going to be on, you said in June, on the 12th of June, you said?
21st, yeah,
21st of
21st.
June. Okay, and do you know the name of your opponent?
You know what? I actually don't. It's a bit of a mad one. Since like my last one, I don't look into them as much anymore. I'm just like tunnel focused on what I can do. I'm trying to think now. Don't even know his name. He's from Brazilian. He's Brazilian, so
Okay.
he's coming over. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I know that. He's fought a few good lads. He actually beat Marcus Lewis, I think, who's pretty decent level. He's fought Callum Mullen. Callum Mullen beat him, I think. There's a few, like, he's fought some good names. I think even his losses are to big names, like, so. Yeah, he's definitely good. He's got 9 wins on his record, so he's a solid
Okay.
opponent.
So definitely he is going to be a tough opponent then.
Yeah, definitely. It's the test we want. He's got more wins than me. Nine
Yes, yeah.
wins. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so perfect for me to prove myself and showcase my skill set.
Okay, last but no means least, because I would like to get you back on here again,
Okay.
to really pick your brain, because I think you've got a lot to say, a lot of valuable stuff to say. And you do have a lot of valuable insights into combat sports and even beyond that life as well.
Yeah,
Because
no, I'm cool.
I've listened
Yeah.
to your other interviews, like on the MIM podcast. It just slipped my mind now, the acronym means. But no, I listened to that interview. It was an hour long show, and listening to your backstory and just everything about how everything came together, it was really insightful. Because you look like a fighter. You look quite in, there's an intimidating side to you as well. But I mean, when I listened to that interview, I suddenly realized, no, there's a journey here that you started from nothing. You had to suffer to get to where you are today.
Definitely. And we still got a long way to go. I don't think, like you said before, you said it perfectly, mate, about suffering and that. I think the quickest you get used to all that and knowing you've got to come over adversity, the better you're going to do in this game, because it's tough and it sucks at times. And that's why all the greats say, it becomes some, you love it so much you end up hating it. And that's how much you've got to love it. And I totally agree with that. But once it's your life, isn't it? You don't know no difference, so you're going to get that either way. But yeah, you said it perfect, mate.
Last but no means least, any shout outs you want to give?
Just want to see yourself for having me on. Thank you for
Thank
that.
you.
All my coaches, North Wales Fight Academy. Yeah, they're a big part of me. So, Gav Hughes for helping me a lot towards this fight as well. And just my sponsors and everybody who supports me, because. And let me tell you something, in that time what I told you about my dad and stuff, in the tough time, there was a lot of fucking good people that have always been there on my fights and all that, and they showed that still even in the tough time, and they still believe me. And this fight, I've actually sold more tickets than I did to any fight. So the crowd's gone nowhere. The audience still believes in me, and they know what I'm gonna show. So it just shows the people that do believe in me still believe in me, and that they ain't losing that. I think I've nearly sold like 150 to 200 tickets to this next fight already, and we're 18 weeks away. So yeah, 16 weeks, sorry, 16 weeks away. But yeah, 150 people are already coming, like, and they show up every time.
That's wonderful, beautiful,
Yeah,
very nice.
so big thank you to them and yourself.
And thank you for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah,
Thanks.
I mean, it's good that you do it, like I said, with the advertising people and giving fighters opportunity to speak and that, because there is more to a fighter. Not many people's going to see that unless people like yourself are trying to put it out there. So it's decent, mate.
Guys, thank you for listening. Danny, once again, thank you so much for coming on. And guys, if you listen to the podcast this far, please don't forget to hit the subscribe button. And you can also catch the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and other major audio platforms as well. And Danny, please send me the names of the people and that you shouted out to, and I'll tag them in all the posts.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Top man. Take care,
Take care.
brother. Take
Bye.
care, mate.